Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Time to get real. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening. Hello, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Hello, I am Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the show, for calling in, for being part, listening on archives. It doesn't matter. Thank you. This show, oh my goodness, Reality Spirituality for my new listeners, is a show about everyday life. It's the journey. It's about the individual moments. It's about the present moment and how to accept and live through and go through and experience the present moment without resistance. And what does that mean, without resistance, present moment without resistance? Well, if you've listened to the show, you know I'm a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. And what that means is that happiness, a.k.a. peace in mind, peace of mind, peace in mind, and contentment is number one priority. So when you make that your number one priority, not goals like, well, you can make whatever goals you want, but when you make peace and contentment and happiness your number one priority in your life, what happens? I'm going to tell you, my left hand is raised right now. It's up in the air. I'm testifying. Your life changes. Not things to happen to you don't change, but your perspective and your reaction changes. And so what you're going to find is when you start practicing accepting and trusting and surrendering and allowing the universe to work its magic, you start doing less, my dear audience. You start doing less. There's less to do. There's less to focus on other than the present moment and how content you are in that moment. It doesn't come with a lot. It doesn't come without practice. It doesn't come without years of focus. But in my opinion, having that peace, that contentment, that internal peace, what else is there? What else do you need? I'm asking. I figured out I don't need anything else. I don't care if I lose both legs, half an arm, outside in the street, and I'm internally, I'm peaceful, and I'm content. And don't tell me that there aren't any people that are living on the street without limbs or living anywhere and they aren't peaceful. They aren't peaceful in their heart. It is possible. And that is what the show is about, how to get through everyday life with and maintain that internal peace, a.k.a. happiness. And if you're listening to the show for a long time, you're going to be in for a treat, because yours truly was tested to the max, to the max. I have to say that, oh, hold on a second. I have to pat myself on the back here. Hold on a second. Let me just stretch back and pat. It's hard to reach so far these days. Let me see. Okay, pat on the back. If you've listened to, let me just say this. This week, I took a two-day trip. Actually, it was a two-and-a-half-day trip to Portland And from Portland, I went to Coos Bay, Oregon. Portland, Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon. I live in California, so it's a 2-hour flight up to Portland, and then from Portland to Coos Bay, it's 45 minutes in this little teeny weeny plane. Oh, before I go on, I want to welcome you to call in live if you want to ask me questions live. Area code 646-564-9619. Area code 646-564-9619. And also, after I tell you, give you this story, I'm telling you, this is going to be on the edge of your seat with this one. I hope so. And then we're going to go over our happiness checklist again about what is your challenge in the moment, part two. So we're going to go through all the questions. Remember, we said last week that it's very simple. You either answer a question yes or no in the present moment, and your response is going to determine whether you're adding to your happiness in the moment or you're subtracting from your happiness in the moment. Okay, back to the story. So I was I live in California, and since I was 18 years old, I've always wanted to live in a forest by water, either by the ocean or by a running river, preferably a running river. You know, one of those rapid rivers that run not too fast, but you know, so you can hear the river running outside. I've always wanted to live in a place like that. And listen, I said Monterey Carmel. Well, Monterey Carmel, at this moment, may be a little pricey for me, if you know what I'm saying. And so I've just been looking at homes up the coast, and there's a huge drop in price from California to Oregon, and I found that hundreds, if not thousands, of Californians are retiring in Oregon now. So I've been looking at houses on Zillow, Z-I-L-L-O-W, which is the nationwide real estate online. You list your house online, you can see pictures, all the stats. It's really a fun way to look at houses. And what I do is I filter out what I want. So in all of my filters, what I'm looking for is, you know, you give your price range, you give your how many bedrooms you want, how many bathrooms you want, and then in the specifics, I filtered in and I said, I want a waterfront and fireplace. That's what I said. And then I wanted a home that was built between 2008 and 2016. You know, anything earlier than that, unless it's brand new, you know, right from the ground up. So that's what I've been looking at for the last maybe 3 months. It's really fun. And I found this house. As soon as I saw it, I fell madly in love with it. The name of the street that it's on, its address, the street address is 10 Mile Lake. So they call it 10 Mile Lake. And I don't know what lake it's on, but you should see this house. It's isolated. It's in the middle of the forest. It's overlooking a huge lake. There's a port. You can just walk down and launch a little rowboat. I don't even have a rowboat, but I guess I can get a rowboat and launch it. A hammock. It was spacious, huge bay windows, two stories, but you know, it was small enough for me, or big enough for me, I should say. Perfect price. I think it was four something. You know, listen, in California, you can't get anything from under $1 million over here, okay? So anyway, I was looking at this home, and I really, really loved it. So I contacted the realtor, and I said, I'm interested in your house on 10 Mile Lake. And she says, yeah, it's a beautiful home. She says, I also want you to know that it's a little remote. She was telling me that not only is it in Coos Bay, I don't know if you're familiar, but I already said that. Coos Bay is very remote. And listen to this. I said the flight is from 45 minutes. The flight from Portland to Coos Bay is 45 minutes. Well, let me tell you that the flight from Portland to Coos Bay, there's only one a day. That's how remote this area is. So, of course, I'm having second thoughts because, quite frankly, I'm not that remote. I mean, I think I need a little bit social. I mean, I need to be able to go out to a concert. I can't just live in the middle of the forest without not doing anything. That's just not me. So I said, well, I still wanted to see it. And the realtor told me that it's probably a mile off the road. So once you go off the road, you still have to travel a mile. But people, audience, this home was gorgeous. In fact, if you want to Google, anyway, whatever. So I said, you know what, I want to see the house. And she says, well, there have been people interested, but yes. 3 weeks later, I mean, I made reservations to go back to Portland 3 weeks later just to look at this home. In the meantime, the realtor said, she says, well, if you're flying all the way out here, you might as well look at other homes. We know what you love. We can see your filters. We know you want something a little bit on that's built earlier in the 2008 to 2016. We see your filters. We're going to look for homes that you are interested in. We've put together a list of 10 homes, including the 10 Mile Lake home, my dear audience. I was really excited, and I looked at a couple of homes, and the ones that they picked for me, and I said, yeah, okay, those are nice. I don't mind looking at them. And, of course, I could tell the ones that I wouldn't like, but, hey, it was a day trip. Fly in, arrive early, and actually arrive maybe 11:30 in the morning. Get in the car with the realtor. I'm driving, and he picks me up, nice guy, picks me up. Of course, he's trying to sell a house. Shows me one of his new developments, shows me another development, shows me another house on the beach, shows me this house, that house. And I actually fell in love with a couple of them, but one of them wasn't, you know, the area wasn't too nice. So I fell in love, but I still flew in to see the house on 10 Mile Lake. And this house on 10 Mile Lake was probably about 35 minutes out of the way. So it wasn't in the center, you know, wasn't in like the radius of the homes we were going to see. So it was a trip that it was about 35 minutes outside of the radius, the central zone, I should say. We looked at all of the houses, and the realtor told me, because I was leaving the next day, and he said, you know, we're going to go see 10 Mile tomorrow morning. My plane left at 1, either 12 or 1. And I knew I had to be at the airport by noon. And he says, I'm going to take you out to see 10 Mile Lake in the morning because it's a little distance. Take you out there, bring you back, take you to the airport, goodbye. You make a decision. Which houses did you like? What do you think? You want to put an offer? And throughout the process, throughout the emailing back and forth, that one of the realtors told me that somebody put an offer on that house. And putting an offer on a home doesn't mean that the home is in escrow or that it's closing. It just means that there's an offer. And also that the owners are not accepting but considering the offer. So this house that I love, that is my dream home in the middle of nowhere, is really seriously somebody wants to purchase it. And I really wanted to see it after that. Come to find out, after I looked at all the homes, I'm really getting, you know, excited for the next morning to look at 10 Mile Lake. I get a call from the realtor's wife. Say that they're a group. They work together. They're a couple that works together. And it was interesting because the husband told me, are you sure you want to go to 10 Mile Lake tomorrow morning? In other words, are you sure you want me to drive out 35 minutes to a house that you may or may not be able to purchase because there's an offer pending and escrow is pending. And are you sure you? I said, and I said, yeah, I do. I want to see it. I said, one of the reasons why I came. The reason why, you know, spent $600-$700 for a freaking ticket. Oh, by the way, a plane ticket to go to Coos Bay is close to $150-$160 just for one way. Thank you, but I digress. Just adding to the story. And then I said, yeah, I want to see it. So then that evening, the wife calls me, not the husband, because the husband already knew that I wanted to see it. The wife calls me, and she says, you know, Rebecca, I've been following up on that house that you want to see in 10 Mile, and there's really no reason for you to go because the offer is solid. The escrow, there, in other words, they signed. There's just some more, little formalities. They really want the house. They started to move. They asked, could they move their things in early? The house wasn't sold yet, but it's going to be sold. Like maybe, you know, who knows when escrow is going to be over? And there's really no reason for you to see it. Now instantly, I said, only because I practice detaching. Okay, so I get it. She doesn't want me to see the house, or she doesn't want to take me to see the house. Now, if I had rented a car, I would have been able to go to the house by myself. In fact, I thought about that. I said, you know, you could still rent a car and go see the house if you want to. At least the next morning, I would have been had to rent a car. But for some reason, the universe planned, it set it up that I wasn't going to see the house that I flew and spent 2 days and spent all this time looking. In other words, those are my intentions to see this house. That was my agenda. And I said, okay. She says, yeah, it's going to be a waste. It's going to be a waste of time to go see it. I said, okay. And never once did I say, well, you know, that's why I even contacted you in the first place. No, none of that was necessary. None of those words were necessary because it was a bigger plan now. So as soon as I knew that I wasn't going to see my 10-mile lake home, I immediately asked the universe, I say, okay, why am I here? apparently, I'm not here to see this house or to buy any of these homes. Why did I fly all the way here, take 2 days off of work, spend a few, you know, few hundred dollars, hotel room, blobbity, bloopity, blip, blip, blip. Why am I here? And you know, when you ask questions or you ask, the universe always answers you. While I was waiting in the airport to go from Coos Bay to Portland, Oregon, to go to Portland, Oregon, to back to California, I met a gentleman from Texas, and he was sharing with me his travels. Interesting, fascinating. We chatted, we shared, he took my card. That wasn't why I was there. I got in the plane, and it's a really teeny, it must be, I don't know, there's only two seats on each side. No, two seats on one side and one seat on the other side. Maybe 30 passengers or 35 passengers. And I'm sitting next to this kid. And I say kid, he looked either late teens or early 20s. And he doesn't acknowledge me, and I just sit down. And while we're taking off, I see him, and he has his hands in the position, in the meditating position, you know, the thumb and the pointer, you know, you circle it and you make a little, like, okay, you know the position I'm talking about. So both of his hands were in that position. So I looked at him to myself, and I said, oh, we have a little spiritual energy sitting next to me. Okay, I see who my neighbor is. But I still don't say anything to him. He's not really speaking either. And then as we take off and we're in the air, again, remember the flight is only 45 minutes. So I started the conversation. I said, so you meditate? And that's how we started talking. Come to find out that this kid, he's 24 years old, and he's living in his car. And he was in Coos Bay because he was looking for an apartment, and he found an apartment that he liked. So he actually took a plane to Coos Bay. I told you, 45 minutes, and it's in the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, it's so remote. This place is so remote. Anyway, but it's very beautiful. And so he went to, and he wanted to live in his own apartment. He left his home because he was getting a lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, his parents wanting him to do one thing, specifically his father wants him to do one thing with his life, and he wants to do something else. He's a free spirit. He says, I'm a closet guru. That's how he introduced himself. And then I'm listening to him, and he says, you know, I applied to this apartment, he says, and I was going to be accepted. He says, but I don't have any income. He says, I have a savings, but I don't have income. So I wasn't able to get the apartment. And now he's living in a car. Or maybe he was in, I don't remember what city he was in, but he wasn't able to get the apartment. So he's living in his car. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what direction he's feeling, you know, that pressure from that programming of what you're supposed to do with your life, what you're supposed to accomplish with your life. At 24 years old, you're supposed to have some kind of direction, right? And he said, all I know is I want to serve, is to help other people. And he says, and I don't care about what the world cares about. I don't care about having money. I don't care about where I'm living, obviously. And listen to this, audience. This kid was smiling. When he talked to me, he smiled through all of his words. He was the most upbeat and light, homeless 24-year-old that is looking for himself that I've ever met. And then he was asking me, because then, of course, you know, I have to tell him who I am. And so we shared a couple of tips. And I remember telling him one thing. I told him a couple of things, but I remember one thing that I knew this kid needed to hear. Well, that the universe sat me next to this kid and talked through me. My ego, I'm not taking any credit. And what I told this kid, I said, you know, it's a practice. The practice is to be at peace and be content with uncertainty, without knowing the future. Living in the future, living for what is tomorrow, living in the past, you're robbing yourself of your moment. And when I said being okay, basically what it is being okay with uncertainty, his whole face shifted. It was like, wow, I really needed to hear that. And at the time, I didn't feel anything. But as soon as that kid left me, as soon as he walked out of my sight, actually I wanted to get a picture with him, but he walked so fast. As soon as that kid walked out of my sight, I just broke down. Because I realized that was why I was there. Not to look at home. Well, I looked at homes, of course. Yeah, I looked at homes. Yeah, that was a good reason. And the other reason was for me to connect with this kid and share with him. And I gave him my information, told him if you ever, you know, contact me, radio show, call in if you want, blah, blah, blah. You have a connection for life. Audience, my dear audience, the eyes can only see so much. The eyes are limited. My eyes, I have to say, can't see the huge plan or the huge design of the universe. So I've given up trying to figure it out and thinking that my intentions or my preferences or what I want matters. No. What the universe wants for me is all I want. That's it. So guess what? I don't know what the universe wants. But what I do know is if I'm doing it, that's what the universe wants me to do in the moment. And if I'm not doing it, that's what is supposed to be happening too. Whatever is happening is supposed to be happening. Whatever is not happening is supposed to. And thank you. And so let me add to this, because this is huge. I shared with you this latest book that I'm reading, and I'm telling you people, next to my book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be found on Amazon. This book, Power Versus Force, by Dr. David Hawkins, is a book that is just, is, trust me, you're gonna go crazy reading it. And on page 266, do you know what this life, do you know what all of this is about, people? I mean, all of it. And we've said it before. All it is the experience. All we're here to do is experience we're experiencing the experience without judgments, without knowing what it is, without wrong, without right, without shoulds, without we're here to experience the experience. And that's what we're doing. So I'm sad. So I'm upset. So I feel like I need more money. Well, I'm experiencing the time. I'm experiencing that moment when I think I need more money. I'm experiencing the moment where I got irritated at my mother. You're just experiencing the moment. Judgments, screw it up. Thoughts, judgments about whether this is good or whether this is bad or whether this is okay or whether this is supposed to be happening, throws it off. It's very simple. When it's the universe wants you to let go of this programming and follow your inspiration. Do you know that there are some people that feel that are uncomfortable doing nothing? Absolutely doing nothing. That's a learned thing. One of my students in my happiness class, it's so interesting. You know, she's the one that just wants to be, you know, I'm not happy. I've lost 165 pounds. I'm not happy with. And in class, she's on her phone texting underneath the desk. That's okay with me. It just shows the priority and the importance. Right? In other words, this practicing and this peace has to be number one. All right. Let me share something, speaking about the happiness. Oh, so bottom line is yes. Went to Portland, went to Coos Bay, looked at houses all day. Next day, did and no attachments, and I wasn't disappointed, and I wasn't attached, and I was fine. Next moment, thank you. Sorry, universe, I got that lesson. Can you say the same thing, my dear audience, if that happened? It's all about the practice. Now, how many of you out there are drivers, you know, you're driving on the road, and you see someone that is on the cell phone or texting when they, quote, shouldn't be, or talking, you know, it's illegal to talk on the phone and text while you're driving. So how many of you people notice people that are out there texting and all that, doing that while they're driving? How many of you notice that? Just raise your hand. And how many of you get annoyed or irritated by the people texting, because they're causing a danger on the roads, right? Just raise your hand again. Oh, okay. Are you sure that's all of you? Okay. So this is an ongoing, I hear this in a lot of my classes. And one of the ladies told me this week that her grandson was in the hospital because somebody hit him because they were on a cell phone texting. So now she's even more justified to tell me that it's okay to look at and to notice and be annoyed at and be bothered by people on the cell phone. And I said, when you notice other people, when you're focused on what other people are doing, you are subtracting from your own happiness. So I want to let you know that in that moment you're making a choice to subtract. And you're okay with that? It comes down to what can you do about it. If that annoys you, what do you do about it? You have a lot of options. Number one, you could just stop driving. That is an option. And number two, see, what I used to get bothered by people littering and throwing things out. And, well, you're littering. Pick up, don't throw anything out in the trash. There's a trash can for that. That used to bother me, people that littered. Same kind of thing. And then I said to myself, does it really bother? Because it doesn't bother me all the time. It just bothers me when I'm bothered. See, noticing. And so when you notice people and you're bothered all the time, then you know that whatever's going on inside, that you're bothered. It's not the person on the cell phone, people. It's not the person throwing the trash out. So when I'm looking at, when I started thinking about this trash thing and throwing out that it bothers me, people littering, I said, would you get a job? Would you just start picking up trash? If trash bothers you so much, Rebecca Norrington, then get your rear end out there and start picking up trash. Well, see, no. Didn't bother me that much to get a job with the sanitation department. But what that did teach me was this, that whatever it is, if I'm bothered or irritated, it's a sign that something's going on inside, some kind of imbalance, some kind of disconnect, some kind of whatever it is, but it's all on me. Remember, it's the mirror, so I know it's all me. And number two, there's always options. So I got in a habit, and you can get in a habit of noticing and complaining and really taking away from your present moment and your energy. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to look at something and feel bad about it? It's the same thing about the news. You're looking and saying, oh, there's so much bad news on the television, and why are you looking at the news? It's the same question, if that makes sense. And of course it does if I said it. The other thing I wanted to share is when I was at the Portland airport, I met a man. And see, this is the same thing. I met a young kid, another young kid who was a realtor, and I met an older man who was on his way to Burning Man. And this gentleman said that he lives on the bottom of the mountain in Alaska. And he lives 150 miles away. Listen to this. 150 miles away from any supermarket, from any store. I said, what do you do? No TV, of course. What do you do? He's out there with nature. That's what he does all day. Now, it sounds nice. It sounds nice, audience, for a vacation. But living like that? And so my question to you is, it's an easy breezy one to think that his perspective about life and about things and about cell phones and about PETA and about global warming and about whatever cause you want to get behind, his perspective is going to be different. This guy chose to live 150 miles away from a market? See, it doesn't compute to me because that's not me. So when you look at any other person, know they're different. They're so different from you. And in trying to get them or even to understand or even to get your words or your unless we are the other person, it's very difficult to think and understand. That's why the only thing that we need to do is accept these people, accept everyone exactly the way they are. Ooh-wee. Okay. Happiness checklist. What is your challenge in this moment? We started this last week. So this is a question. This is a happiness checklist. What is your challenge in this moment? And you can write anything in throughout the day. You just list it. What am I being challenged by, or what am I being tweaked by, or what's making my energy shift? However you want to word it. Remember, my words might not flow with your words. So work at the way. How are you feeling in the present moment? Are you feeling connected, or are you feeling resistance? So that's really the question. And these questions, I have a whole list of questions, and these questions require you to either answer yes or no. You know I'm simple. Yes. Well, that didn't say. Well, of course it sounded. Of course, simple is. I love simple. So you either answer yes or no. For the first one, I'll give you an example. And when you answer yes or no, if you answer yes, you can tell which ones are adding to your happiness and which ones are subtracting from your happiness. So depending on how you answer, you know in the moment whether you're adding or whether you're subtracting. First two questions. Well, actually, I read those last week, but let me just give you an example. This is the first example. Do you trust is underlined, that everything that is happening for your betterment, also known as your personal or your spiritual growth? So it's either yes or no. Do you know, do you trust that everything, even if you're broke, even if you don't have, even if you didn't get the job, do you know, do you trust that everything that's happening is happening for your betterment? That's either a yes or no. Do you know that in every cell of your body? Do you trust that the universe has and always will have your best interest? I don't care if you are on a hospital bed with one one leg cut off. For some reason, that's the experience. That's your experience. Can you accept that? Okay, so back to, do you know that worrying means that you don't trust? If you worry, my dear audience, all it means is that you don't trust. See, I trust. I never worry, ever, 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 especially about other people. Now, I'm not going to say that I don't get into situations where, oh, gosh, and I'm wondering what's going to happen the next time. I wonder what's going to happen, you know, the times when I'm in trouble. But worrying about people, worrying about my life, worrying about the future, no. Do you believe that everything that happens is happening in perfect order? Are you taking whatever it is seriously? Let's jump back down to more questions here. Do you think that whatever it is really important? Do you take whatever happened personally? Are you taking it personally? Did you offer an opinion, a suggestion, or a comment without being asked? See, you create your environment, and you either create peace or drama. So when you're talking, so you only have control over a few things: your words, your behavior, your perspective, your energy. So when you're in the company of someone else and you're talking, are you offering suggestions? Are you offering opinions? Are you offering advice without being asked? Parents? Husbands, wives, is that what you're doing? Are you offering opinions, suggestions, comments, or advice without being asked? If you are, you're subtracting from your happiness. Do you have control over what happened? Do you blame someone else for how you're feeling? Are you comparing yourself with someone else? Are you talking about this situation with other people? This is a big one. You know, when something happens, a big quote-unquote tragedy or some kind of event in life, do you start talking about it? Guess what happened to me? What's the reason that's keeping, I mean, unless, and why are, and why are you sharing information? Oh, because that's what people do? Well, let me say something. I'm not really hanging out with people that share information about stuff that happened to them yesterday or last week. I'm just not. It's not interesting to me at all. And if you notice, people start sharing without even being asked. Anyway, I digress. Let's see, where was I? Blah, 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 blah. Believing your thoughts. Are you believing your thoughts? We know that thoughts are just, well, the thoughts are just like clouds. They have no substance. They have no power unless you give them power and or substance. Do you criticize yourself? Well, we know that when you criticize yourself, you're subtracting from your happiness. Do you criticize other people? We know that when you criticize someone else, you're subtracting from your happiness. And so then you ask about whatever your challenge is in the moment. Is it in the past? Probably. Is it in the future? Maybe. So if you're concerned or thinking about or obsessed with or focused on anything in the past or in the future, you are actively subtracting from your happiness. I love this one. This is one of my favorite ones. Are you in someone else's business? Are you in someone else's business? If the answer is yes, you're subtracting from your, I don't care if it's your child, unless they're minors and they're living with you. If you're in their business, noticing what they're doing, offering suggestions, thinking about what they're doing, you're subtracting from your own happiness. The same thing, are you paying attention to what other people are saying and doing? Are you committed to finding peace in every moment? Are you committed to creating a peaceful relationship every single time you're in the presence of someone else? Are you practicing behaviors that will add to your happiness on a daily basis? That's a good question. Are you practicing behaviors that will add to your happiness on a daily basis, which is practicing detaching, practicing not having expectations, practicing not blaming, practicing not comparing, practicing trusting, practicing allowing, practicing not resisting, practicing accepting. Are you practicing all of those on a daily basis, my dear audience? Oh, this is a good one. Do you laugh out loud every day? Are you celebrating your personal growth on a regular basis? See, listen, birthdays, holidays, special occasions, anniversaries, those are easy to celebrate. Getting a job promotion, anybody can do that. Who cares? I want you to start celebrating your personal growth. That is the celebration. Focus on your growth and then celebrate it. Celebrate it. And it's little teeny, 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 trust me, little teeny, teeny, teeny steps. Very small. Celebrate the even. And you know what? This thing about small and big, quite frankly, that's another label. Are you eliminating all labels from your vocabulary? Because small, big, small indicates small. No. You're growing. Celebrate. No such thing as small and big. This is fun. Do you smile at strangers? Are you comfortable with uncertainty? Are you accepting in this moment? Are you having some type of fun every day? Are you practicing being aware and conscious during every moment? That's the happiness checklist and completed. Last quick story, only because I love it. I love all these stories. But there's a gentleman in my happiness class, and he's the one that cooks for his family and just always upset because his adult children never washed the dishes, and it would always bother him. And then he said that, I said, listen, you can't expect people to do anything. You know, you want the dishes washed, you wash them. Stop trying to make people and tell people what to do. Should the kids be washing the dishes in the house if the dad cooks? Well, if that was me, I'd wash the dishes. But if they're not washing it, they're not washing it. And it's nothing to do with you. Don't take it personally. Doesn't mean they're inconsiderate. Doesn't mean anything. It just means they're not washing the dishes. Get it? And so what he's learning is that he's in control of his peace. He's washing the dishes. And then last week he told me this story about making spaghetti and how one of his kids doesn't like vegetables in the spaghetti. So he makes a separate pot with just vegetables, and then he can add it to the sauce if he wants. See, this is a man who has prioritized and is determined to be more peaceful. Because instead of wanting his, you know, saying you need to eat this just the way I cooked it, no, to keep the peace in the house, this guy made two separate or separated the vegetables. That's what I'm talking about, audience, making some kind of adjustments in every moment to create peace. Isn't that a great story? I love it. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. Email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com with your questions. I will answer questions if you email me a question. And follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. Facebook, go to Reality Spirituality and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page, because I know if you've listened this long, you love the show. You just love it. And you're wondering, where has she been all my life? Woohoo! Right? Isn't that what you're thinking? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Until next week. Oh, and my book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, the first edition, it's going to be a collector's item, quite frankly, because trust me, it can be found on Amazon. And let's see what else. Oh, my dear audience, I want you to realize that you are an extension of the universe. You are the universe. You are awareness. You are consciousness. You are here to experience all of the experiences without judgment. It's just an experience. Let go. Be patient, be kind, practice, commit to a daily, daily, daily practice of creating peace wherever you go and wanting it and having the intention of being that energy of peace, regardless of what happens and regardless of what it looks like. My favorite quote from Abraham, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey, my dear audience. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. Love you. Reality, spirituality. Beep, 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 beep. What? You heard me.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
question for